Good morning, everybody.
Can we sing that part? There's so many doors you've opened, so many ways you've made. Can we sing that? I want us to sing that because, you know, who has that testimony this morning
of seeing God open doors and making ways where there wasn't no way?
Amen. Can we just sing that? Can y'all sing? So many doors.
Many doors you've opened. So many ways you've made. So many times you've healed.
You've been better than good.
Better than good to me. So many doors you've opened. So many ways you've made. So many times you've healed me.
You've been better than good. Think about it.
You've been better than good to me.
So
many doors you've opened.
So
many ways you've made.
So
many times you've healed me.
You've been better than good.
You've been better than good to me.
So many doors you've opened.
So many ways you made.
So many times you healed me.
You've been better than good to me.
You've been so good.
So you've been.
You've been so good. You've been so good.
One more time. You've been.
You've been.
Song. Amen. 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 So many doors you've opened, so many ways you made. The song says so many times you healed me, but I was going to say so many times you forgave me. You've been better than good to me. How many have had God to forgive you time after time after time, and he's given you another chance and another chance? Aren't you glad about that today? So many doors you've opened, you've made ways, and Father, when I dropped it, you still forgive me. We serve a good God. Amen. Just want to welcome you this morning. If you are visiting here at Washington Christian Center, we want to welcome you. We're glad you came to worship with us today. We are in the middle of a series, as Brother Shep said, called Burning Questions. In week one, we dealt with why am I here? Why do I exist? And last week, we dealt with the question is what? What was the question last week? Do all good people go to heaven? This week is the question, how do I change my life? I thought about that. How do I change my life? Because I was thinking about this question, really, because there's a lot of people who, whether you're a follower of Christ or you're not yet a follower of Christ, think that, you know what, I may have gone too far. I've done a lot of dirt. I've done a lot of stuff in my life, and you're trying to figure out how to get back on track. I don't know if any of you had this testimony where you know you've done stuff, you know you're not who you should be, and you're trying to get to where you need to be, and you just don't know how to get back. Anybody ever been there today? Well, you messed up really bad, and you're like, Lord, I know I'm not right, but I feel sometimes I don't even know how to get back, and then I know I need to go back, but maybe I've done too much for God to forgive me. And we talk about, you know, God's forgiveness and his love and how loving and forgiving he is, but to be honest, when the rubber meets the road, sometimes when you mess up real bad, it's kind of hard to believe God can forgive you. You know, there are a lot of things that, you know, you see people, and I was preparing this, I was just watching just some stories of people who've done terrible, terrible crimes and terrible, terrible things. And just trying to get their mind around how God could actually forgive them. It's a challenge. But we know we serve God, that God loves us in spite of us. And so here you're here today, and if you're here, wherever you are, no matter what it is you've done, it may be a habit you're trying to change. It may be a lifestyle. It may be somewhere you've fallen. Or you might just say, listen, I've never even given my life to Christ, and I know I need to, but how do I make that change? I've heard people tell me, listen, I know I need to come to God, but I got some stuff I want to get right first. Anybody ever heard that? Anybody ever felt that? As though, I want to clean myself up because I know I need to get right, but I don't want to be a hypocrite. So I want to get myself right before I come to God. And you're just trying to get that thing together. How do I change my life? And we want to go and look at a man in the Bible this morning who had a situation like that. And I'm here to tell you that no matter what you've done, no matter how far away you've gone from God, no matter how far you feel from God right now, that guess what? You can change, and it's not because it ain't you that has to do the changing. So this morning, we're going to look at a man in Scripture who's he's very similar to us. That's what I love about the Bible, the stories of everyday people, who's very similar to us, to find some encouragement on how you can change your life and how you can find forgiveness right where you are. Is that okay? Before we do that, can you pray with me? Let's pray. Dear God, Heavenly Father, we are thankful and we're grateful that we serve a good God. That God, you've been better than good to us. You've been making ways and healing and forgiving, Lord God, all of our lives, and we are grateful today. And we're grateful to hear today that, Lord, that you have allowed us to stand here this morning to hear your voice and to hear your word, Lord God. And we pray that you'll challenge us and that, Lord, you will change us. There is somebody here today, God, who has walked away from you. There's somebody here today who's feeling that their life is not what it should be, and they're trying to figure out how do they get it back. In fact, Lord, there's somebody maybe this morning who's feeling, Lord, I've messed up so bad. Will you ever forgive me? Let them know your grace and forgiveness today. We praise you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Before we do that, I just want to, again, acknowledge all of our guests. If you are here today, there's a little, you're going to get one of these little connect cards. And if you're a guest, we want you to fill out your information so we can connect with you. If you're not a guest, it's a card where you can put your prayer request down. It's a card where you can indicate any decision that you've made. Also, if you've had any changes in your information, your cell phone, your address, your email, we want you to put that on the card as well. Amen. Also, before we get into it, I want to take the time to acknowledge some folks. You know, one of the things that we do in church as pastor, you know, you can get busy going from one week to the other. And we come to church and there are people here who sing on the praise team and people here who serve on different ministries. And we do it week after week, week after week. But the scripture tells us to give honor to whom honor is due. Amen. So I just want to take, what I'm going to do over the next probably several weeks and months, every Sunday I'm just going to take a chance, and if your name don't get called this Sunday, don't worry about it, it's coming. What I want to do is just take a chance to acknowledge people who just serve and make sure that things can go like they're supposed to go when we come here to worship. And we just praise God. There's so many people who serve here at WCC, but I just want to acknowledge a couple of people. Number one, a couple of groups of people. They're not in here right now because you just saw them leave. But I want to, all of you, if you serve with our children in any capacity, I want you to stand right now. If you're a Sunday school teacher and you serve in the children's ministry, can you stand? I want everybody to see you, who you are. Can we give all of those who serve with our children a round of applause? Amen. Amen. Thank you. I want them to sit because a lot of them, and I notice most of these faces, some of you who may not know, most of these people have been doing this for a long time. I mean, many, many years. And working with children, sometimes it's not easy because children don't say amen. They don't say amen. And it's also tiring because, you know, you got to be, the children, you cannot be dry when you're serving children. You got to have energy. And how many know when you've grown and you got children, you got a job and you got other things, sometimes at the end of the day, you don't have energy. But these people come in week after week, sometime on Sunday, then on Wednesday nights, and then when we were doing on Fridays, then they serve our children and make sure that they get the word on their level. And I just want to acknowledge you and let you know how much we appreciate all of you and how much you have poured into so many lives, and that it has not gone on deaf ears, and that God has a reward for you, and I'm going to have a reward for you too. I just don't have it with me right now. But I just want to let you know that we want to honor you this morning. Amen? Can we give them another round of applause? Amen. Amen. So this morning we are talking about how can you change your life? And I thought a good place to start would be look at somebody in the scripture who needed a life change. And somebody on the surface, he was somebody who looked like he had it all together, but this guy messed up real bad. And his name is David. And the reason why, if you look in the book of the Bible in 2 Samuel, we'll see about David. And our passage this morning is Psalm 51. If you have your Bible, you can turn to Psalm 51. That's where we're going to be this morning. But I want to start at 2 Samuel chapter 11. And Psalm 51 is a psalm that where David is really asking God for forgiveness and asking God to give him another chance. And you might say, for those of you who don't know the story, you might wonder, well, why does David need another chance? Because David, though he was the king, this man David was the king of Israel, of the whole United Kingdom of Israel. He had all of it in the palm of his hand. And the Bible calls him a man after God's own heart. David is a man, if you know in the Bible, is when they talk about David and who? When you know the story of David and Goliath. David and Goliath. David did what? He killed the giant, right? David killed a giant. David wrote the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. David has got a wonderful, wonderful resume. But I'm going to tell you, David was a rascal. And David, what David did, the reason why I love that, the reason why that God chose to use David as an example is because when you look at what David did, David was a king. He did amazing things. He wrote psalms and worship songs and all of this stuff. But David was a murderer, a cheater, a liar, a deceiver. David was a rough dude. And in this passage in Psalm 51, David is asking God for forgiveness because he had done something that is unthinkable. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're here wondering how can you change your life, if you've done something you think that God, well, can you ever forgive me? I challenge you, have you ever done anything like David did? David, in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 11, the Bible says it was in the spring when the kings go out to war. And David was not at war, David was at the crib. He should have been on the battlefield, but David said, they got it. I'm going to stay home and chill. And the Bible in 2 Samuel 11 says that David, it was around noontime, and that day when he had just come up from his afternoon nap, he went up on the rooftop and he saw this sister across the way bathing on the roof. And her name was Bathsheba. And she must have been beautiful. So David said, look, I got to have her. What is her name? Somebody go and get her for me. And David looked and he saw this sister on the roof that he had to have. And they went because he's the king. David, the king, could have anything he wanted. He went and they got, he didn't just look. He could have just looked and gone back downstairs. But no, David said, I see her and I want her. And he went after her and he had them go get her and brought him to the palace. And what did he do? He didn't just sit down and have lunch. He slept with her. He's a married man. She was a married woman. He slept with her. And what he did with it during that time, he impregnated her. And now David, number one, he was at the wrong place at the wrong time. He should have been at war. And when he was resting, he was chilling. And I'm here to tell you, you will always mess up. You will always fall on your face when you're not in the place where God has designed you to be when you're supposed to be there. See, when you always get yourself in trouble when you're at the wrong place at the wrong time. He says it was the spring when kings go out to war. And inherent in his nature and his title, when my troops go, that's where I'm supposed to go. But when you're not aligned with your purpose and your design, you're going to mess up. You know, I was watching this video the other day. Tracy showed me this video. It was a video of a shark on the shores. I don't know if it was in South Carolina. I don't know where it was. The shark had come into shallow water and it gotten too shallow. He got stuck on the sand. And it was so, that shark was flipping and fly. I mean, he was trying to flip to get his way back to the water. He couldn't, I mean, he was frantic. And I started thinking, I said, that'll preach right there. When you're not where you're supposed to be, when you're supposed to be there, look, I'm going to tell you, it's like a fish out of water. You are struggling. And David was not where he was supposed to be when he was supposed to be there. And what happened? He got in trouble. He saw a woman. He lusted after her. And he could have said, oh, let me turn my head. But no, he had to get her. And he got her. She came to the house and he slept with her. And now she's pregnant. And the one thing I love, I just want to tell you what I love about this. If you ever go to 2 Samuel chapter 11, what I love about this, the story of David or the chronicle of David, is because David is the only one mostly in the story. There's only two people in the story got regular names. You know, you got Jobab, you got Uriah, Bathsheba. Raise your hand if you know anybody named Jobab. Anybody got friends named Uriah? Bathsheba, anybody? Bathsheba, nobody. I love it because, you know, David is a regular name. We got Davids in here. We got a couple Davids in here. David is a regular everyday name. And that's here to tell you, guess what? This story is for me. It's a regular, I can identify with David. David saw, he lusted, and then what, he committed adultery. And he committed adultery, but he could have stopped there and said, man, I blew it, I'm sorry. But guess what? Bathsheba found out she was pregnant. She sent a note to David to let her know what was going on. I'm here to tell you, at this point, only people that really know what's going on are David and Bathsheba. Everybody else doesn't know what's going on except one other person. If you look in the Bible, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, I think verse 27, and it says the Lord was displeased with David. I'm here to tell you, whatever you do, listen, that nobody else might see you, but guess who sees you? His eyes are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. I might not see you. Nobody in the church, the people may not see you, but guess what? God sees you. And we got to get to the point where, listen, it ain't about who else on the outside sees me, but knowing that I've sinned, God, against you. So nobody sees. And Bathsheba sends a note to David and says, listen, I'm pregnant. We got a problem because her husband now, this is how mean this is. This is how cruel this dude David is. This woman's husband is out fighting for David. And he sleeps with his wife and gets her pregnant. And then what does he do? He said, man, we got to hide. Instead of coming clean, he said, we got to hide this. So he sends a note to have the captain of the army call Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, back to the crib to give him a break. Said, listen, we're going to come, your deployment, he's deployed, we're bringing him back home so he can spend some time with his family. And Uriah is so noble and so loyal that he said, how can I go back home and chill with my wife, sit down and have dinner with the king when my homies are out there in the field fighting a battle? So David invites him to the palace and encourages him to go home and sleep with his wife. And Uriah is such a man of noble character that he sleeps outside of the palace. He doesn't even go home to be with his wife. And David tries it again. And David is so crooked. He said, man, this dude is not going to do it. So David said, now I'm going to try something else. Now I'm going to get him drunk. I'm going to get him drunk and try to get him to go back home. He gets Uriah drunk. Uriah is so noble that even in his intoxicated state, he wouldn't go back. He said, I know well enough that even while I'm drunk, I shouldn't be out there doing that. So he sleeps outside. He doesn't go back. At this point, David should have said, man, you know what? I need to just come clean. But does David come clean? He said, nope. Well, he ain't going to do it. So David writes a note. He writes the death warrant for Uriah and gives it to Uriah to take back. How cruel can you be to write down the death sentence and give it to the man you're trying to kill in a sealed envelope and say, look, take this back to your captain? He gives him the order to kill him and take it back to the captain. Uriah gets back. Jobab reads it. The soldiers pull back. They're fighting. And back in those days, if y'all ever seen the movie 300, anybody ever seen the movie 300? See, war back then wasn't like war it is now. So if you remember the movie 300, I love it. You got these brothers from Sparta, these young 300 men from Sparta. And it's hand-to-hand combat. And so they're fighting hand-to-hand. And so what David says, while y'all in hand-to-hand combat, let all the soldiers pull back, put Uriah on the front line, and leave him up there by himself to fight everybody by himself to ensure that he would be killed. And then he says, send word back to David. They say, send word back to David that, listen, what has happened? And then David gets the word, the Bible says, that he gets the word. And when he says, listen, the soldiers, we took a real bad hit. And then the final note, the final sentence in the letter, and says, your servant Uriah is also dead. And David said, you know, you win some, you lose some. Essentially, that's how he ended up. You win some, you lose some. Y'all, we'll get it next time. And then he's not done. He kills the man and then says, bring her to the crib. Now I'm going to marry her. This is the same man who wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. This is the same man who earlier in his history, who said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine? And told Goliath, listen, it is not me that God is going to get. He stood and fought against the pagan Goliath. This is that same man that the Bible says in David, he's a man after my own heart. And I'm here to tell you, I told you that story because I want you to think about how many things have you done as bad as David? It's bad enough that he cheated on his wife. Then he tries to lie about it, cover it up. And then he said, that don't work, so I'm going to kill the husband. It's two by, and see what he did with David in his sin, he ruined two families, and there's two lives lost because Uriah died, but because of David's sin, now his own son had to die. And after all of that, the question you might ask, I was watching a clip from a movie called Man on Fire. Denzel Washington was in that movie, and it was Denzel Washington and I think Christopher Walken, and it was a scene in there, and Denzel looks at Christopher Walken and says, do you think God will ever forgive us for the stuff we've done? And Christopher Walken says, no, I don't think so. But I'm here to tell you, guess what? No matter how bad it is, you still serve a God who will forgive you. You can take encouragement today that God still says David is a man after my own heart, even after all that he's done. And this morning, if you look in Psalm chapter 51, you'll see what David comes to God to ask God for his forgiveness. Let's look at Psalm 51. I'm going to read it. I don't think it's all going to be up on the screen, but if you have your Bible, if you have your phone, you can follow along. I want to read all the way down to, guess, about verse 15 of Psalm 51. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. You'll have to follow with me. I don't have it on the screen this morning. It says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love. Because of your great compassions, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. For I recognize my rebellion. It haunts me day and night. Against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. For I was born a sinner. Yes, from the moment my mother conceived me. But you desire honesty from the womb, teaching me wisdom even there. Purify me from my sins and I will be clean. Wash me and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a loyal spirit within me. Do not banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and make me willing to obey you. Then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. Forgive me for shedding blood, O God, who saves me. Then I will joyfully sing of your forgiveness. Unseal my lips, O Lord, that my mouth may praise you. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of his word. How do you change your life? How do you bounce back from a fall? How do you receive the forgiveness of God? I'm here to tell you, there's some of you today who are far from God. You feel like you're far from God. But I want to give you three things that you can do to change your life. How you can bounce back. How you can experience change. The first thing that you must do is you must change your heart. You must change your heart. Let's look at our passage. What does David say right here in verses 1 and 2? He says, have mercy on me, O God, because of your unfailing love, because of your great compassion, blot out the stain of my sins. Wash me clean from my guilt. Purify me from my sin. Verse 3, for the first part of verse 3 says, for I recognize my rebellion. What David had to change, his heart, you got to have a heart change. If you want to change your life, it's going to start with you got to change your heart. You got to recognize that, listen, you got to recognize that this heart needs to be changed. David recognized that I recognize my rebellion. And if you want your life changed today, no matter where you are, if you've never accepted Christ as your Savior, if you want your life changed, if you've accepted Christ as your Savior and you've fallen away, if you want your life changed, it starts with a changed heart. And the first thing, listen, the first thing that you got to do, there's three keys for your heart being changed. Three keys. If you have a handout, it should have an area for you to write notes in here. Three keys for your heart to be changed. Number one, you got to acknowledge your condition. You got to acknowledge your condition. What did David say? I recognize my rebellion. What do you have to acknowledge? You got to acknowledge that you are a sinner separated from God. In order for you to have your heart changed initially, you got to acknowledge that your condition. And what are you? You are a sinner separated from God. Shep said it this morning. We asked the question last week, do all good people go to heaven? And the answer is yes, but the problem is there's no good people. Because the Bible tells us in Romans chapter 3 that there is none good. There's none who seeks after God. There are none righteous. No, not one. None of us are righteous. So you have to acknowledge your condition. Today you might be a good person. You might do good things. But none of those good things are good enough for God. Because all it takes is for you to break one. We look at David and we say, man, how could he do such a thing? How evil could he be? And we look at it, and it's sad, but we kind of grade sin. You know, we grade sin. We say, you know what, you got the adulterer and the murderer over here, and you got the one who just tells the white lie over here. I think I told y'all this story about this back in March or February, Tracy and I were getting ready to go to Jamaica, and we went to the store, and I'm going to tell it again. If you did, if you heard it, just act like you didn't. We went to the store, went to Burlington Coat Factory, and I went to go get a new suitcase. And we got the new suitcase, and I knew what the price said. And we got the ring, and we're leaving out of the store, and the lady told us my total was going to be. And I'm like, okay, maybe this thing was on a tremendous, like, 85% off sale. Because that's a whole lot cheaper than that suitcase is supposed to cost. So we're walking out to the car, and Tracy's walking with me. I say, you know what? Either this thing was on sale or that lady may have forgotten to bring this up. Look at the receipt. And so Tracy looks at the receipt. Matter of fact, I told her, don't look at the receipt. Please don't. Be honest. I said, don't look at the receipt because now I know I got to take it back. So she looked at the receipt and said, oh, she forgot to ring it up. And so you know what I had to do? Take it back. Now, what the little white lie would be like, you know what? She forgot. Let me go. But you know what? Does God look at me taking that suitcase the same as the man who cheated on his wife? Guess what? If you break one, you broke all of them. So you might be here to say, listen, I'm a good person. I don't cheat on my wife. It's just like the man we said last week, the rich young ruler. He said, oh, I'm good. I've done all of these. I've kept all of these commandments. But if you break one of them, if you bear false witness, they're all broken. And what you got to, if you want to, listen, change your life, you got to acknowledge your condition before God. David said, I recognize my rebellion. And the key for you changing is to admit that you're messed up. And if you don't admit that you're messed up and that, listen, you have no way to fix yourself, you got to acknowledge your condition before God. He said, all of us, not only is our condition that all of us have fallen short of the standard. See, the Bible says that we're all, in Romans 3:23, we all have sinned and fallen short of God's standard. But that's not the other part of it is this. The Bible in Romans 6:23 says, "Then the wages of our sin, the payment for us falling short of the standard is death." Eternal separation from God. So you got to acknowledge that's who you are. That's your condition. David looked at it in the verse. He said, listen, I was born in sin, and in sin my mother conceived me. You want to change heart, it starts with you acknowledging your condition. But after you acknowledge your condition, the next thing you got to do if you want to change heart, you got to accept God's provision. You got to accept God's provision. I said the Bible in Romans 6:23 said the wages of sin is death. That's part A. But part B says, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If you want to change heart, you got to acknowledge your condition, but you got to accept God's provision. And that is for your initial salvation. You got to understand that you cannot be made right with God by doing good stuff. And the same thing, once you have come to know God and know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got to continue to accept God's provision for you. Do you know there are some people here today who are followers of Christ, who accepted Christ as their Lord and Savior, and they have fallen away, and then they stay falling away because why? They mire down in guilt. Do you know guilt makes you further away from God, does not bring you back closer? Because when you feel guilty, like, man, I messed up so bad, then it keeps you distant from God. And that's what the enemy wants you to do. Once you acknowledge your condition and accept God's provision for you. Bible says in Romans 5:8, but God demonstrated his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for you. That's his provision. And that provision works for your initial salvation to be made right with God. That provision works in your everyday sanctification. That every day I wake up and I got to, listen, accept his provision. That it is not because of the works of righteousness that I've done, but according to his mercy that he saved me. So today, if you're here and you said, listen, I've accepted Christ, but I've fallen away. You need to understand, listen, you don't have to get yourself right. Jesus died for your mess ups. He knew you were going to mess up before you messed up. He knew you were going to mess up before you messed up. So what you have to do is I accept his provision. I'm not righteous before God because I do right. I'm righteous because I've accepted Christ's righteousness. He's given it to me. If you want a new heart, if you want to change heart, you got to acknowledge your condition. And then you got to accept God's provision. And then the next thing that you got to do, you got to announce your decision. You got to announce your decision. What do I mean? See, it's one thing to acknowledge my condition. I can acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I can acknowledge that I'm messed up. And I can accept that the fact that, yes, Jesus died on the cross, that he was buried and he rose again and he came to do it for me. But guess what? I got a decision to make. See, because there are people who believe all of that I just said, but it's in their head. They acknowledge it. It's an intellectual assent to the truth. But until you make a profession to say, listen, I accept and I apply that to my own mess, you're still in your sins. You got to announce your decision. You got to make a decision. The Bible in Romans chapter 10, verse 9 and 10 says, if you openly declare, that's announcing. If you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you're made right with God, and it's by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. So you got to announce, you got to tell people, I make the decision to ask Christ to be Lord of my life, to come and forgive me of my sins. You got to announce that. You got to make that. If you want to change heart, if you want to change your life today, you got to acknowledge your condition before God as a sinner separated from God. You got to accept the provision that he sent his son Jesus Christ to die on the cross for you, that he was buried, that he rose again. And then you got to what? Announce your decision. Tell, publicly declare that I decide to make Jesus Lord of my life. If you do that, guess what? And he says, I will give you eternal life and you'll never perish. He will wash you clean. Though your sins be as scarlet, he will make them as white as snow. That's a changed heart. And David, listen, David is one who recognized his sin, that he was messed up before God. He said, I recognize my rebellion against you, and it haunts me day and night. There's some of you this morning, your rebellion is haunting you day and night. God is just telling you, just announce it. Tell God, listen, I recognize that I'm messed up, God. And really, he's calling you to accept his provision for you. Number one, you need to have a changed heart. That's the key. If you want to change your life, how do you change your life? Number one, you got to have a heart change. Because there are people right here who are trying to change their lives without their heart being changed. The Bible says the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? You can try to change your life on willpower, but willpower doesn't work. It only lasts for a certain amount of time. You need to have a heart change. That's number one. The second thing, you got to change your heart. But if you want to change life, not only do you have to change your heart, you got to what? Change your mind. You must change your mind. Look, David in verse 4 of Psalm 51 says, against you and you alone have I sinned. I've done what is evil in your sight. You will be proved right in what you say, and your judgment against me is just. Against you and you alone have I sinned. David, listen, he had a change of mind. I'm the king, but you are Lord. You are Lord. It's against you and you alone. You gotta have a changed mind. See, there's some of us, we don't have a changed life because our mind's not changed. We're so busy trying to please people. We're so busy trying to live in our own strength that, listen, God said you got to be transformed. In Romans chapter 12, you need to be transformed by the what? Renewing of your mind. You got to have your mind changed. And when your mind changed, you recognize, guess what? Who's in control? God is in control. David said, listen, against you and you alone have I sinned. It's not about against Uriah. It's not against Bathsheba. It's not against the people of Israel. It's not against my wives and my children. God, I did this against you. See, once your heart is changed, now God needs to renew your mind. And when you renew your mind, you say, God, my mind being renewed, then you are Lord of my life in everything I do. And whatever I do, whatever I eat, whatever I drink, whatever I do, God, I want to do all for your glory. You cannot change your life until you change your mind. Starts with a heart change. You got to come and acknowledge that you're messed up before God. You got to accept his provision. You got to make a decision. And now you got to be daily transforming and renewing your mind. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2 says, since you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. You notice the correlation between heart and mind right here? He says, since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart on things above. And then he goes and says, set your mind on things above, not on earthly things. What happens is your mind, see, when God has to change my heart, but I have to daily renew my mind, because the Bible says you need to guard your heart with all diligence. Once you come to accept Jesus Christ and he initially cleansed me of my sin, now I have to guard my heart, because what I allow into my mind can influence my heart. See, the heart is the seat of your emotions and where those desires are. And what I allow into my mind can influence what I'm passionate about, what I begin to worship. So what you got to do, if you want to change your life, you got to change your mind. What are you thinking about today? What are the things that are on your mind? Right now, we're talking about we want to change our lives, but you sit around watching TV all the time. I want to change my life. But you're bitch. Some of us binge watch stuff that ain't got no, and we got no business really watching. If we spend as much time, I tell my kids this all the time. I tell you, I use this as an example. My son gets upset because I say, look, you playing video game, you play 2K. Well, if you spent as much time, if you spent a quarter of the amount of time that you could sit in front of a video game in the Bible, guess what, boy, you'd be dangerous. And the same is true with us. We get, listen, it's not just TV. Right now, some of us don't even have TV. It's social media. It's social media. Now, there are applications that can tell you how much time you're on social media. Some of us spend hours on social media and you don't even know it. Why? Because now your phone is in your hand. It's always before you. You don't have to wait to get home to look at TV. You don't have to wait to, there are people right now, I see there are patients who come into my office and I can't even talk to them. They're sitting in my treatment chair watching a movie on their phone. And I'm here and they got kids and it's cussing and guns firing off and they can't even focus. I'm like, you're going to have to put the phone up. They can't focus because they're walking down the street. They come into the clinic watching. They got Netflix, Hulu, YouTube. Everything. What happens is, and you wonder why you can't change, is because God said, if you want to change your life, you got to change your heart. And then once you change your heart, now you got to begin renewing your mind. What is your mind set on? Today, if there's no change, it's because what are you thinking about? The Bible in Philippians tells us whatsoever things are lovely, of good report, are virtuous, praiseworthy. Listen, that are good. Think on these things. You got to meditate. You got to make an intention. You got to be intentional about what you set your mind on. If we want to be changed people, we need to begin to set our mind on this book. We can't live a book if we can't live the book if our mind's not set on it. I had an opportunity last night. I had a good time. Any of you on social media, I'm talking about social media. I'm sometimes slow on social media. I still haven't put the pictures up, but last night I went to my 30th high school reunion. Whew. Yeah, that's what I said. What? 30 years I've been out of high school, and we went, and I had, you know, had good conversation and saw some people. There's a guy in my class, good brother, and we started talking about church, and he was a youth pastor. He used to be a youth pastor in a church in a different county, and he was saying, you know, what's going on right now is that people in church, they don't want good teaching. They want something to make to deal with their emotion. So what happens is they can't live right because they don't have nothing to hold on to. So they're inundated. You give them a good song, a good music, but now when I start trying to teach you the word and in context, then I can't. I want you to make me feel good. The Bible talks about they won't always endure sound doctrine. People have itching ears. They want people to come and tell them how to live a good life. It's sad, very sad. I watch on, so because I'm on social media, you see a lot of guys who started off as good teachers and good preachers. And when you really listen, and it's a good, sometimes it's a good word, but when you listen and peel back the onion, all it was a personal development message. All it was personal development. You listen very closely, and guess what? You don't sound much different than Tony Robbins and Les Brown. You don't sound much different than good motivational speaker. Because listen, but I sprinkle a little word on it, a little Bible on it, and I tell you how to have a good relationship and how to deal with your marriage and how to live single, and those are all good things. But the core of this deal is you are a sinner separated from God. And we get to it, and you get to the end, you listen, a lot of time we get all the way to the end, and it's very little gospel. And now we're in an age where we're having morality. We're preaching moralism. Shep sent me a video the other day. It's like the church without Jesus, where we could be good moral people without Christ. And the core of this deal, listen, you got to have your mind renewed. You got to get in the book. You got to have a renewed mind. If you want to change your life, you got to first change your heart. Second, you got to change your mind. And then third, you must change your direction. Psalm 51, verse 7. Purify me from my sins, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Oh, give me back my joy again. You have broken me. Now let me rejoice. Don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Don't banish me from your presence, and don't take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me again the joy of your salvation and make me willing to obey you. You got to change your direction. And you can't change, and when I say change your direction, and I should preface this to say, the notes say you must, but what happens is you have to rely on God to change your direction. Because you must change your direction. Sound like, let me pick myself up by my own bootstraps and go the other way. But you have to make a decision and say, God, listen, now I recognize that I was going in the wrong direction. I recognize that against you and you only have I sinned. I was going east. Now I just declare my allegiance to you, and now I want to turn around and go the other direction. It's like the son, the prodigal son. The prodigal son, he rebelled against his dad. He left and went and he spent all his living and was out there partying, wilding out and doing what he had to do. He got beat up. And while he was sitting in the pig pen, he said, guess what? I got to make a conscious decision. Either I can wallow in the guilt and what I should have done, or I'll turn back and go to my father. And today God has you here because you may have made some bad decisions and you want to change your life. And God has you here this morning to give you an opportunity to change your direction. David says it right here. What does he say? In order for you to change your direction, there's a couple of things you got to do to write in the passage. Number one, you must spend regular time alone with God. You must spend regular time alone with God. He says, don't keep looking at my sins. Remove the stain of my guilt. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Then he says, don't banish me from your presence. Don't banish me from your presence. If you want to change your direction, you got to spend a regular time alone with God. It's hard to be alone with God because we're always inundated with noise, and being alone with God requires you to be quiet. And sometimes it's hard to be quiet because when you be quiet, sometimes you can see who you really are, and you don't want to deal with that. But God needs to get you by yourself so he can deal with you. Like I said it before a long time ago, God needs to isolate you sometimes so he can speak to you. What you got to do if you want to change your direction, you got to spend regular time alone with God. Number two, what you got to do, you want to change your direction, you can't change it on your own power. You must be filled with the Holy Spirit. What does he say? Don't banish me from your presence. Don't take your Holy Spirit from me. You want to change direction, you need to ask God, fill me with your spirit. To be filled with the spirit has nothing to do with making a whole lot of noise and falling out. Being filled with the spirit is all about having how much control of your life that God had, that you allow God to have. To invite him to have full control. Everybody in here this morning, and we preached a series on this a while ago about the Holy Spirit. Everybody in here, if you have accepted Christ as Lord of your life, if you've become a follower of Christ, if you're here today and you made that decision to accept him as Lord, you have his spirit right now. And you have all the spirit that you're going to get. Who is it? Mary, Mary, somebody had a song said, give me just a little more Jesus. What is that song? A little more Jesus. Is that it? You ain't going to get, if you have Jesus, you ain't going to get more Jesus. That sounds good. Good words, bad theology. It's about how much of you Jesus is going to have control of. See, being filled with the Spirit, he's in here. He's already in there. It's a question of being, are you going to remove? See, it's just like a glass. I wish I had it right here. If I would have poured water in the glass, but the glass was filled with paper towels. If I have paper towels in the glass and I keep pouring this water up in the glass, what happens? The glass is never going to get filled up because the paper towels are absorbing all of the water. So, but if I keep, and if I pour it, it's going to keep absorbing the water. But if I remove the junk out of the glass, and guess what? Then the water can fill the glass. See, what God has to do, he got to remove some of the mess in your life. So that, and then you ask him, God, fill me with your Spirit. What I'm asking you to take control of me. If you want to change your direction, you got to spend time alone with God. And what you also have to ask him to fill you. You can't do it in your own power. You can't say, I'm going to change my own direction. You say, God, the Bible says, it is him who works in me, the willing to do of his good pleasure. Ask him to fill you. Ask him to fill you. And asking God to fill you with his Spirit, guess how often you can do that, and you should do that every day. Lord, fill me with the power of your Holy Spirit. That's not a one-shot deal. I need the filling of the Holy Ghost every single day. Every day, because God is calling me to go out there. It's a battle that you're in. Spend regular time alone with God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then what? Ask God to give you a sense of his joy. You know, walking with God sometimes is not always easy. But he says, I want you to restore to me again, David says, the joy of your salvation. Lord, I want to experience your joy. I want to experience the pleasure of what it means to walk with you. Help change my mind and change my perspective and see that walking with you is, Lord God, is something. In your presence, there is fullness of joy, and your right hands are pleasures evermore. If you want to change your life, listen, Christians, we ought to be the most joyous people. People who are followers of Christ. Why? Once you have had your heart changed, that's enough to have some joy about it. That the God of the universe took my old dirty sinful heart, and in my mess, he still loves me in spite of me. I may not have enough money in my pocket. I may not have everything together, but I know that he loves me and he's forgiven me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Ask God to give you a sense of his joy. Spend regular time alone with God. Be filled with his Spirit. Ask him to give you a sense of his joy, and then ask him for the power to be consistent. Because how many of us have started good, but you don't finish good? It ain't about how you start. It's about how you what? Finish. Ask God for the power to be consistent. He said, give me a willing spirit to obey you. Work in me the will and the act of his good pleasure. Listen, guys, changing your life is not easy. Walking with God is not easy. And what happens is, because when you make a decision that you're going to change your life, it might start out good, but you're going to run into an obstacle. There's somebody here that's trying to get off of some kind of addiction. And you might have a good month. You might have a good week. But then what happens? You hit that wall, and you want to go back to that thing. What you got to ask, you can't go on willpower. You have got to give me the power to be consistent. And walking and changing your life, what you got to do is, a lot of it is about your expectation. You got to expect opposition. You got to expect it not to be easy. So when it comes, you knew that was coming. Ask God daily, Lord, give me the power to be consistent. And then I love at the end, he says, at the end, he says, verse 13, he says, then I will teach your ways to rebels, and they will return to you. How do you change your direction? Spend regular time alone with God. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Ask God to give you a sense of his joy. Ask for the power to be consistent, and finally, look for a chance to help others. Look for a chance to help others. That's one of the greatest ways for you. I was watching a story of life change when in preparing for this, and it was a gentleman who said that he was given 35 years in prison. He was involved in drugs, and he got a drug deal gone bad, and he stabbed somebody 21 times, and he killed that person. And he spent time in jail, but some chaplain found interest in him and told him about the love of Jesus and told him that, God, listen, that you are more than the mistakes that you made and that you have not gone too far for God to forgive you. And God forgave him, and he experienced the love of Jesus. And now he says, now I spend my time pouring back into inmates and pouring back into people who've done the same kind of crimes that I've done. One of the best ways to change your direction is what? Get involved in serving others. Get involved in serving others. That's one of the greatest things. When you sit there, and God didn't save us to sit. He didn't save you. Once you had your life changed, now your life has been changed, not for you just to sit on it, but to go and tell somebody else. There's nothing better than having being a recipient of the good news and accepting God's provision now and pouring into somebody else's life and showing them how they can experience change as well. When you do that, I'm going to tell you, it gives life. If you're here today, you might be saying, listen, have I done too much for God to forgive me? Have I gone too far for God to forgive me? Guess what? Just like I said, there's no such thing as a good person. There is no such thing as a place that is too far for God to reach you. You've not done enough bad for God to be done with you. And you might be here today and you've been wallowing in guilt. God is calling you not to wallow in guilt, but he's calling you to repentance. He's called repentance. All his message is about is change. He said, listen, and the only way you to be changed is number one, you got to have a heart change. That starts with a heart change. You got to acknowledge your distance before God. You got to acknowledge that you're a sinner separated from God. And then you got to accept his provision, which is his son, Jesus Christ. And you got to make a decision. You got to let him know, listen, I choose you. I want you to take my sin and give me your righteousness. Having done that, now God is calling you now to daily change, have a change of mind. You got to renew your mind. If you want to change your life, you got to renew your mind. Set your heart and mind on things above, not on things of this earth. You got to do that on a daily basis. And then finally, ask God to give you the power, fill you with his Holy Spirit to turn you in a different direction. You were once following after your own passions. Now you say, listen, he's Lord of my life. Now I want to obey. I have decided to follow Jesus. I want to change my direction. And in order to do that day, I want to commit to every day spending time with you. I ask you to fill me with the power of your spirit. Give me a willing spirit, God. Give me the power to be consistent on a daily basis. And guess what? He'll do it. He'll do it. And then you can listen. Now pour back. He said, now I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners will be turned back to you. Because there's nothing more powerful of a testimony than what? A changed life. I can tell people about how good something is all day long. But listen, it's just like this. I'm trying to lose weight right now. And I can tell y'all how good a product it is to lose weight, but y'all won't want to try it until you see me lose 15, 20 pounds. When you see, listen, you're talking about how good it is, but when I saw what it did in you, that's, oh man, I want to hear more. And when people know where you were and what you've been through and see how the power of God has changed your life, that is a powerful testimony. That you can win others to you, to the kingdom, to him. Amen? Can we all stand together? How do I change my life? Number one, you need your heart to be changed. You must change your heart. Number two, you must change your mind. Number three, you got to make a choice to change your direction. And when you do that, relying on the power of the Holy Spirit, not on your own strength, he will do for you what he did for David. David did some terrible stuff. Stuff that probably none of us in here has ever done. But God forgave him and still called him a man after his own heart. And he wants to do the same thing for you today. Could you bow your heads and close your eyes for me this morning? All over the room. If you could bow your heads and close your eyes. Very simple today. You're here to say, Pastor Dwayne, I need my life changed. And I'm ready. I'm ready. I want him to change my heart. To change my mind. I'm ready to change my direction. I said it's really simple. All you got to do is acknowledge your condition. David said, look, I messed up. I rebelled against you. Then you got to accept God's provision for you. His provision was his son Jesus. God sent his son Jesus Christ into this world to become sin for you. God, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians, he made one who had not sinned to become sin for you. So that you can become the righteousness of God. All you got to do is acknowledge your condition as a sinner separated from God. Accept his provision, which is his son, Jesus Christ. He came and he died on the cross for you. He was buried and he rose again. And what he wants you to do right now is to announce a decision to follow him. If you say, Pastor Dwayne, I want to follow Jesus. I want to make him Lord of my life right where you are. Could you raise your hand right where you are? Every head bowed, every eye closed. And say, listen, I want to accept Jesus as Lord of my life. I want to make a decision to follow him so he can change my life. If you're here today, you want to make that decision, won't you raise your hand right where you are? I've got some stuff in my life that I know needs to be changed, and only God can do it. Are you here today? I see that hand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Anyone else said, I want to accept him to be Lord of my life and change me? Is there anyone else that says that this morning? Right where you are. Thank you, Lord. Second call is to those who say, listen, I have accepted Christ at one time in my life, but I've messed up. People might know, just like David, people may not have known what is going on in your life, but you know you got some stuff and you've been wallowing in guilt. And you're like, Lord, I know I've accepted you as my Savior, but I got this habit, this thing in my life I'm having a hard time letting go of, and I know you don't like it, and you're wallowing in guilt, and God wants to change that today. He wants to remove the guilt and shame and say, listen, why don't you come to me? All you who are labor and heavy laden, come to me. I'll give you rest. He said, I want you to come and get changed today. It's time for you to change your mind and change your direction. If you're here a follower of Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I want to ask you to forgive me for these things in my life. And I'm coming back to you today. I'm putting the guilt aside and I'm coming back to you. Restore me, Lord. If that's you right where you are, you want him to restore you right where you are, raise your hand. Don't be ashamed. Don't be ashamed. If you're here and say, listen, I got some stuff that God, Lord, I want you to change in me, raise your hand. Let me pray with you and for you. Is there one today? Someone else today will come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Is there one who'll come? I see that hand. Anyone else? Say, Lord, change me. I want to change my mind, Lord God, about some stuff in my life. Somebody else. Thank you, Lord. Dear God, Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. Thank you that you're patient with us. And Lord, I thank you, Lord, that your word says there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that there is nothing that I could do that, Lord, will make me too far for you to reach me. And I pray, Lord, now this morning that you will help us. Help us, Lord God, to have a mindset like David, that, Lord, against you and you alone have I sinned. God, forgive me and forgive us for living for the opinions of other people. Forgive us for trying to perform for other people. God, under the sound of my voice this morning, God, there is somebody who has some stuff they need to change, but they're more worried about what people are going to say if they know. Lord, I pray that you will set us free from that. Today, Lord God, that we will walk in transparency and that, Lord, you will have a move of deliverance in this place. That, Lord God, that people know that in you there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That they can have life change. That they can experience deliverance and freedom and your forgiveness no matter what it is that they've done. Lord, let them know that today. Let them be able to walk in boldness. Surround them with people to encourage them. Thank you for the hands that were raised. Lord, for those who say, yes, I know you as my Savior, but today I want to commit to changing my life. God, I pray that you will empower them with your spirit, surround them with people to encourage them. For one that said, I want to accept your forgiveness for me and make me new, Lord. Change my heart. I thank you for him, Lord God. Let him experience life change like never before. Lord, let him live for you boldly. We praise you. We honor you. In Jesus' name, amen. Can we give God a hand of praise?